KCSB FM Santa Barbara 91.9. KCSB News presents Inside Isla Vista, a weekly show covering an array of issues important to the Isla Vista community. The mission of the show is to educate, inform, and raise awareness about what's happening in Isla Vista. It does not endorse any political candidates or ballot initiatives. There's a different host each week. Let's meet tonight's host on Inside Isla Vista.
Hello and welcome. This is Inside Isla Vista, and what a day it's been in Isla Vista and at UC Santa Barbara. I'm Lisa Osborne here tonight with Jonathan Abood.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan, you are the organizer for the E and F campaign, and so this was a really exciting election for Isla Vista, right?
Yes, yes. However, I do want to clarify that currently I'm not one of the campaign organizers anymore for Yes and ENF. I am now employed with the Santa Barbara County Democratic Party, but there are three other organizers who do work for ENF: Cameron Chunk, Carlos Lopez, and Darcel Elliott.
All right. Okay, we're going to be talking about what happened as far as ENF goes and other Isla Vista elections results. It was just such a crazy, busy day on campus here. In fact, last night when it became evident that Donald Trump was going to be elected president, the students in Isla Vista, not only UCSB students, City College students as well, they took to the streets in protest. It wasn't a real rowdy protest, but it was pretty subdued, but it was like at 1 a.m. So imagine people streaming through the streets in the middle of the night in Isla Vista when it was found that Donald Trump was going to be elected. We have a report from the scene last night. There was also a rally today under Stork Plaza, and something happened with a local TV reporter that her boss called in to talk to us about. So we've got a lot going on as far as what happened on campus today and in Isla Vista regarding the election. So then we're going to get to Jonathan and Measures E and F and what this means here in Isla Vista. So right now, let's first go to, do you want to go through some local results first, Jonathan? Why don't we talk about that? The third district county supervisor was a lot of that battle was fought here in Isla Vista.
Yes, that race usually historically has come down to the vote in Isla Vista, and Joan Hartman, you know, she won by a very large margin, and I think that's mainly due to her stronger appeal to Isla Vista voters.
Well, it was a good night for the Democrats besides the presidential race, right? Salud Carbajal over Justin Fareed. Let's get back to the supervisor's race. Did you see how close that was? Because early in the evening, Bruce Porter, her rival candidate, was had more votes.
Yes, that usually happens. In the first reporting, they only show you the vote-by-mail results that came in, and those tend to be the more conservative voters. So that's to be expected. Because his lead was so small, actually, in the vote-by-mail, that was almost indication that Joan was for sure going to win, because usually the split is actually greater to the conservative candidate in the vote-by-mail initial tally.
And Joan was the top vote getter in the June primaries, but she didn't get enough votes to not have to be in a runoff with Bruce Porter.
Yes, she got 46%, I believe, in the primary, if not 43. A very high number. Yeah.
Were you surprised at how the 24th district congressional race went, or were you expecting Salud Carbajal to win?
Yes, I mean, I was expecting Salud Carbajal to win the entire time. I had known it was going to be close, but I think Salud's very large margin of victory, especially here in Santa Barbara, was an indication that Justin Fareed had no appeal in this area. I mean, Justin Fareed spouts the same message to me as Donald Trump, and he also lost by a large margin in Santa Barbara County. So that made a lot of sense to me. Justin Fareed also was someone with no credibility or experience. So I think it made a lot of sense that Salud won.
Then how shocked were you at the June primaries when it was Justin Fareed over Kacho Asajian, who's a career politician who was pretty well liked here on the Central Coast?
Yes, I mean, that was indeed shocking to me that Fareed overtook Kacho in the primary. I was almost sure that it was going to be Salud versus Kacho. But I think maybe Fareed's victory in the primary might be an indication of where conservative voters might be trending. Kacho is an immigrant himself, so that, and, you know, Donald Trump and Justin Fareed espouse the same message, so that could have something to do with it.
Yeah, that's okay. That's those are some good points. We want to talk about Measures E and F in Isla Vista and the outcome here. Some things are still up in the air and some questions still need to be answered. A lot of people aren't quite sure whether the Community Services District will be formed, how it will be funded. Let's just go back to what happened overnight once it became evident that Donald Trump would be our next president. Students were not happy, so they took to the streets of Isla Vista 1 in the morning in protest. And KCSB Bottom Line reporter Gwendolyn Wu was there. And she has the story.
UCSB students took to the streets on Tuesday night because of the presidential elections. Donald Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States in a surprising upset over Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. There seemed to be 100, if not more, students marching through campus and then marching through Isla Vista to catch up with a bunch of protesters who...
People in this community are LGBTQ, are Black, are Muslim, are all these things that what makes America what it is today. And honestly, if we're not going to stand for it, like, our voice is going to be heard.
Who, if we don't stand for it, who will?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, he's president, but...
He's not my president.
In our eyes, yes, yeah, he's our not president, my president. And we're going to show that if we dislike something, it's all right. And it's our image in the amendments that we can express that we don't like it.
That was Raina Mondo, a third-year SBCC public relations major who joined hundreds of Santa Barbara College students early Wednesday morning to protest the results of the 2016 U.S. presidential elections. Students came out of the on-campus dorms and marched through campus in Isla Vista, yelling slogans like, "Not my president," and "F Donald Trump." The chants from campus could be heard in neighboring streets, driving many to leave their apartments and houses to join the stream. The march was peaceful, with a few university police department CSOs presiding over it to ensure everyone's safety. Multiple speakers encouraged the crowd gathering under Stork Tower. A few Trump supporters attended the rally, waving American flags, and occasionally heckling speakers, but only one verbal altercation broke out. The crowd finally fully dispersed around 2 a.m., and protests resumed at Stork Tower noon today, where a couple hundred students and faculty announced that there would be various safe spaces and resources for students alarmed or overwhelmed by elections results. Students from neighboring Dos Pueblos High School also joined the protest, walking out of campus and joining UCSB's campus. For KCSB and The Bottom Line, this is Gwendolyn Liu.
And the rally went on long enough for the Dos Pueblos and San Marcos students to walk all the way from their high schools to Stork Tower here at UC Santa Barbara. And they even joined part of the rally and shared their thoughts.
If you look at all of us here, most of us are under the age of 18. We can't even vote. But the people who are voting, guess who's going to be left with the repercussions? All of us. We can't vote, but we're not stupid. We know that Donald Trump is going to be horrible for our country. We know that this is not what we want, not what the country needs. We're just in high school, but we're smart too, and we know what's best for our country. And thanks for staying here long enough for us to get here. We're in high school. We can't really drive yet. So...
I'm Ryan. I'm also from DPI. Just wanted to add, Dos Pueblos High School knows what's right. San Marcos High School knows what's right. I think America should know what's right. And Trump is not right.
All right, those are some students from Dos Pueblos High School who came over to UCSB today during a lunchtime rally at Stork Tower to protest the presidential elections. But they kept it pretty grounded and didn't get out of hand. But there were some thugs in the audience that went after a local newswoman. They didn't like something that they saw with her. And so we heard from the Jim Lemon, who is the news director at Channel 3, Channel 12, and Channel 11. He called us here at KCSB to let us know what happened to his news reporter who tried to cover this lunchtime rally today at UCSB.
We provide news content for three different television stations: KEYT News Channel 3, KCOI 12 Central Coast Local News, and Fox 11 News. And our reporter believes, because on her microphone it has the three logos on it, that the Fox logo might have caught a few people and made them less than happy to see her. They were blocking her from trying to get in a little closer to get some video of people who were gathered for this event, and they started pushing and shoving her. So basically, a group of thugs decided that their free speech mattered and no one else's did. When we learned about this, which took a few moments for her, fortunately, she's fine. She's physically safe. As soon as we were aware of this, I immediately called police dispatch at UCSB, and some fine professional folks there did a terrific job, and they had an officer to her within about 2.5-3 minutes. So we're very appreciative of the efforts of the UCSB Police Department. She had by then gotten herself back to her car and was safe. The people that were pushing and shoving her did not follow her. But I will tell you, the thing that really concerns me here is that we have young people who understandably want to stand up and speak their minds about an important national issue, but are willing literally to engage in violent activity that could be dangerous toward people who are doing a very simple job of trying to inform the community of the exact event of what they're doing. It's pathetic. And I'm using words, buzzwords like that quite specifically. Yes, these are thugs. Yes, what they did is pathetic. They literally ganged up on a defenseless young woman. It's unacceptable.
Do you know if they were students? Could she describe them? Were they older or were they college age?
She believes they were college aged. Unfortunately, she was not rolling at the time of the incident. I did call the editor at the Daily Nexus to ask if any of their staff happened to be there, and if so, and if they happened to acquire any images and or video of it to send it to us, and with their permission, publish it, because I would like to very much be able to do that. The reporter has happily been able to speak to police investigators. However, I don't know that she was able to give them enough descriptions that will lead to any successful arrests or prosecution of anyone, which is significantly unfortunate, because people like this need to know there are consequences for actions. The same types of activity that have been ascribed to the incoming president were used today in a way against a member of the news local, against a member of the local news media, in a way that completely negates any legitimacy that they have in making the statements that they were making. They have a constitutional right to demonstrate and to give that opinion at the top of their lungs. It does not give them the right to get physically violent with someone, especially someone who is also doing a constitutionally protected duty to inform the public.
So are you going to change anything in the way that your reporters are being sent out in these days following the election?
That's a great question, Lisa, and it's something I'm going to have to really give a lot of thought to, because we certainly did not ever anticipate that something like this would come up in the middle of the day on a university campus.
Yeah, talk about the compare that to last night. I know you had reporters out in Isla Vista around 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning when the unrest, it was a peaceful protest from what I heard out on the, from what we've heard from our reporters out on the streets last night. So especially in the middle of the day, this isn't something that you expect to happen.
No, not at all. And last night, of course, we put two people together specifically because of issues involving safety in the middle of the night. And especially when emotions were running so high and literally the minutes after the decisions were being made and the fast nature of this. So, of course, we staffed in with that thought in mind to make sure that we were in a better place and to, you know, take the safety of our staff into consideration, which we do all the time. And honestly, until today, until this afternoon, until 2 hours ago, I had not thought that I might need to provide additional security measures for a member of my staff covering a news story on the campus of UC Santa Barbara.
That is Jim Lemon, a news director at Channel 3, Channel 12, and Channel 11 here in the Santa Barbara area. One of his news reporters, she doesn't want to be named, is still shaken up after an altercation with some people at this noontime rally at Stork Plaza. If anyone saw anything, if you saw anything, if you happen to, a lot of people were there, hundreds of people were at this rally. If you got any video or got any photographs of it, KEYT News or KCSB here, it would be great to get in touch to see if they can possibly track down the guys who are allegedly responsible for that. This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Lisa Osborne on 91.9 FM KCSB. Jonathan Abood is with me. He's with the local Democratic Party. He's excited about measures E and F. This is a community services district where, talk again, we've heard a lot about this, but maybe some of our listeners now, Jonathan, aren't exactly sure what E and F are. So Measure E passed, and this is what it's going to do for Isla Vista.
So Measure E passing forms a community services district for Isla Vista. It's a special district that was custom tailored for Isla Vista through Assembly Bill 3, authored by Doss Williams, who's an Isla Vista native. What it gives us now is an elected representative body and the ability to carry out certain tasks as provided in Assembly Bill 3, which, you know, include things that are very necessary in Isla Vista, like reforming parking or providing tenant mediation services, improving policing through community policing. So those are, you know, Measure E has the ability to carry those out, but it relies on the tax in Measure F to do them. You need money to carry out a service. Measure F status right now is still up in the air. So Measure E passed by a very large margin, over 80%, I believe.
Because you only needed 50% for Measure E, a majority.
Yes, you only needed 50% for Measure E. We got over 80 so far. With the uncounted ballots, even if they all went no, which they probably won't, it will still pass. So it's Measure F that's on a very razor-thin margin right now. It's slightly below the passing point, so it's not passing right now. However, there are still so many ballots to count in Isla Vista that we can't say for sure how it's going to go. So I don't want to put one message out there or not.
But you should still feel hopeful, or at least proud of you, yourself, and those who were really pushing for yes on ENF, because this is the closest that Isla Vista's come to self-governance in decades. There have been several attempts to become more of a city, more inclusive, right?
Yes, exactly. So when you look at the election for Measure E, the percentage of people who voted yes, it's almost exactly the same amount of percentage as the people who voted yes for cityhood in the 70s during the unofficial plebiscites. So that is very exciting. It shows that there's a clear desire, and when you put it on the ballot, people still voted yes. We do want more self-governance. Further, I'm very proud of everyone who worked in Isla Vista this year, all of the campaigns and all the volunteers. We had record turnout in Isla Vista. There were at least 13,080 votes cast NIV yesterday.
Wow, and you signed up the Democratic Party, or was voter registration going on, and I don't know if it was only the Democrats or between both parties, 13,000 people were signed up since 11,000 since the primary, is that right?
Yeah. So the Republican Party doesn't do voter registration in Isla Vista or UCSB because it's disadvantageous to them. Only we do it. But we did over 13,000 between March 28th and now, between the primary and now, and between the people who've moved, we registered well over 13,000 voters. So we're pretty confident that almost every voter we registered turned out and voted, which is amazing.
That is a healthy vote, because it seemed like the with the June primaries with Bernie Sanders, a lot of people were going to his rallies, but in the end, he didn't get enough of the vote.
He didn't, but in Isla Vista turned out at 7,200 in the primary, which is almost as much as it turned out for the 2008 general presidential election. So now in 2016, it's turned out at an even higher rate than 08 and 2012. So it continues to grow. So that it makes me very proud to be, you know, a resident of Isla Vista and have worked on this for the past couple of years.
So, and congratulations to you. This was a huge feat. In fact, it looks like you've been up all night. You look a little tired, Jonathan. Are you due for a vacation at this point?
Yes, I am. I didn't sleep for around 50 to 60 hours between election night and prior. But yes, I'm going out of town for a week to go to New York to visit friends. So yes, much needed vacation. And then I'm ready to be back and back to work.
Okay, awesome. So let's work out. This is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. I'm Lisa Osborne with Jonathan Abood, who was behind the Yes on ENF campaign in Isla Vista to create a community services district in Isla Vista. So with the Measure F, the the tax measure, which would fund the community services district. That's still up in the air. We hope by the end of the week to know one way or the other. So let's
Friday we'll know.
Okay, so moving forward, UC Santa Barbara has pledged to put $200,000 a year for 7 years into the community services district. Do we know if they still intend to fund it if the tax doesn't pass?
You know, their letter that prescribes their commitment to the $200,000 says that if the CSD is passed, then we were committed to doing this. So I'm very hopeful that the university is still committed to doing this. I mean, now the university has a more localized avenue to spend its resources for Isla Vista. You know, right now it does contribute money to Isla Vista sometimes, but that goes through the Board of Supervisors. Now it has the opportunity to spend money in Isla Vista in coordination with locals, so we can laser focus the money to have the most effectiveness possible.
Well, it sounds from the wording that you just said, it sounds like they are committed to put up the money, whether or not the tax passes, and the board of directors who are elected, about half of them ran unopposed. Is that right? Do you want to name who was elected?
Yes, Ethan Bertrand, Jay Freeman, Spencer Brandt, Natalie Jordan, and Father John Hedges. Again, in Isla Vista, there are so many more uncounted votes, and some of these elections, you know, the election could still be decided and changed by Friday, but it looks like all five of these candidates had healthy victories. So,
all right, well, that's good. And then the Community Services District is set to form on March 1st, but you were telling me that it might start sooner?
Not that it might start sooner, but I believe the Board of Directors, this is my understanding, and obviously I'm not a lawyer, but the Board of Directors may be sworn in as early as December, the first week of December, as with all special districts. I think that's what I saw at the county elections declaration of candidacy form when I went with some of our candidates who declared candidacy. So they might get sworn in, but they won't be operating until March 1st.
Okay, so we'll see how that turns out. Now, there was one of the candidates who seemed to be not very happy with the way that the Yes on ENF campaign was going, and I wanted to have him have a chance to voice his problem with what he was saying was wrong with the campaign, so you could address it here because we want to hit all sides here on Inside Isla Vista. This is Andrew Gabriel Pragen. He was a candidate for the Community Services District, and here's what he has to say regarding how this campaign has gone.
What everybody's been seeing over the past months is called Yes on ENF. It's the campaign paid for in part through donations as well, by Assemblymember Doss Williams. Assemblymember Doss Williams, who has created what's called a ballot measure committee through the office of, I think it's probably in Santa Barbara County Elections, but it's the California Federal Political Practices Commission, FPPC, that he filed his paperwork for and with. Essentially, when you're a ballot measure committee, you are limited to campaigning for ballot measures. What Measures ENF recently did that I saw was host their Get Out the Vote event on Facebook, if you saw that, from the 6th of November to the 8th of November. They were holding it in the Democratic Party headquarters over here. But the event description was actually written by the campus Democrats at UCSB. And at the bottom, it said that this event is hosted by the campus Democrats. And in the description, they actually listed their endorsements. So the Measure ENF ballot committee that was supposed to be nonpartisan is hosting an event that is endorsing on their Facebook page. It's a violation of campaign finance law.
So what do you intend to do about it?
Well, I filed a complaint. I've been told that it's approximately 14 days that it takes. I am hoping for a more thorough investigation. Doing some digging, I found that an administrative penalty can be levied, up to $5,000 for the offense. But what I'd like is actually what amounts to an investigation, an audit by this commission to determine how it is that this committee, this group of people, Measures ENF, Yes on ENF, have been working volunteers into their campaign. Because just recently, I walked up to some volunteers on the street. I was eating outside of Freebirds and saw that they were walking by with some literature. And I ran up. I'm like, hey, I'm a candidate for the community services district. Like, could I talk to you a bit? Here's my experience. Like, blah, blah, blah. So you're volunteering for Yes on ENF. And they said, yeah, yeah, we are. They were wearing the shirts and everything. And then I say, well, yeah, cool. So I see you're holding some literature there. Could I take a picture of you with it? And I asked that because they were holding the Democratic slate cards. These people who told me they were volunteers for Yes on ENF were handing out Democratic slate cards. No, no, we meant we were volunteers with the Democratic Party. You say that now, but what was it really? How have volunteer signups been administrated? I'd like to know.
All right, that was Isla Vista Community Services District candidate Andrew Gabriel Pragen, who is contending that the Yes on ENF campaign is doing something wrong. Jonathan Abood, who has been with the campaign since the beginning, what do you have to say in response to that?
So I'm going to say first that Andrew has no legal basis for his claims, only, I think, personal reasons. Yes on ENF has campaign finance lawyers, and so does the Democratic Party. So we're always looking to ensure that we're not violating campaign finance violations because we personally believe in them strongly. So we would never do anything that would violate campaign finance laws. Just to clarify a couple of his points, I was working for the Santa Barbara Democratic Party for Get Out the Vote effort, so I organized the volunteers, and Ethan Bertrand was working for Salute Carbajal for Congress, so he recruited them. Yes on ENF's organizers had nothing to do with getting the volunteers out there. Second, so ENF was not committing any resources to any other campaigns, as he claims to have done. Also, we paid rent for an office in Isla Vista alongside other campaigns and the Democratic Party, so it was ENF's office as well as other people's. Also, we shared a Facebook, Yes on ENF shared a Facebook post, and that's not committing any money as a committee. So I'm not really sure where he's getting these claims or where his legal basis is, but it shows a clear understanding of campaign finance law.
All right. Well, thank you for clearing that up. Jonathan Abood, thanks so much for coming in here tonight on Inside Isla Vista. We're running down the Measure E and F campaigns. We'll know more about Measure F on Friday, the results of that. I just wanted to name the people who it looks like are going to be the next board members on the Isla Vista Recreation and Park District. Pagin Sudar has been reelected. Daniel Torres and Carlos Lopez. It looks like they were the top vote getters as of earlier today. I'm Lisa Osborne. This is Inside Isla Vista. I wanted to update you on a situation that happened in Isla Vista this afternoon. This was reports of a person with a gun and a police searching for him on Del Playa. We have information from the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department. I just wanted to update you on this situation before we go tonight. It happened around 2 this afternoon when four people got into an altercation at the 7-Eleven on El Embarcadero. Police responded because there were reports of a man with a gun. The witnesses said they saw the four guys and they took off in a car and turned onto Del Playa Drive and pulled into a driveway. Well, the witness didn't stick around in the area to point law enforcement in the right direction to the guy. So as of this afternoon, Santa Barbara County Sheriff's deputies, the Isla Vista Foot Patrol, trying to track down that person who allegedly was seen with a gun in Isla Vista this afternoon. The suspect is described as a Hispanic man, 6 feet tall, 180 to 220 pounds, with a buzz cut and brown hair, wearing a gray oversized shirt and possibly blue jeans. So if you see anyone that resembles that and you want to get in touch with the Isla Vista Foot Patrol or the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department. This is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. Dick Flax is going to be your host next week. We're here Wednesdays at 5:00. And tomorrow is Third District Supervisor Doreen Farr's final office hours. You can swing by and see her, talk to her at the Coffee Collaborative between 2 and 3 this afternoon. Stick around. Gaucho Sports Pod is coming up next. This is 91.9 FM KCSB.